In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we just sang about being lights on the rim of the water and giving hope in a storm of the night. And in many ways, believe it or not, our passage from Acts this morning sets out a kind of a template for how we might do that. So I want us to take a look. It's going to be a 36,000 foot, very quick flyover of Acts 17, verses 1 through 15. If you have the text with you, you might want to be following along. First, there are five things, I think, here that have something to say to us about how we are called to follow Jesus in a pandemic. And again, this is really the 36,000 foot view. So we're going to just hit them one after another. First, Paul is the clear leader and speaker here, but it's also clear that he's working as part of a team. And we, I think, are in a season where there is great opportunity for us to take advantage of that particular dynamic that really is one of the bedrock things about discipleship to Jesus. And that's very strange because we're isolated from each other physically. And yet, as we're experiencing worship online, one of the things that really I find very attractive about this medium, we can talk about all the things we don't get, and I understand that. We can't be together. But one of the great features of this is what I call the tendency to democratization. What I mean by that is that we're learning that there's room for more participation in worship leadership. There's also more room for invitation. We'll get that theme in a bit later. But everybody's picture appears at the top of the same screen. There's no particular one person with a bigger picture than another. We all have opportunities. I find that we're sharing a lot more with testimonies during prayers of the people. Those are all great things that point liturgically to something even more important, which is the functionality of the Christian community as team. That's number one. Number two, Paul bases his ministry in the scriptures. In his case, what we now call the Old Testament, because those were the scriptures that he had at the time. Now, it is true that Paul, as we know from Acts chapter 9, had a profound encounter with Jesus. But his proclamation of the gospel of Jesus was not grounded in his own experience. It was grounded in the testimony of the Jewish law and the prophets. Paul doesn't come to Thessalonica and say, you know, guys, I was on the road to Damascus and man, I just got knocked off my horse and blinded for 3 days. And then this dude I never heard of before comes in and lays hands on me and prays for me and heals me. I mean, that's a tremendous testimony, and we have it in scripture. But that's not what he does. Instead, he is reasoning with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that from them the Christ must suffer and on the third day be raised. That is the gospel. That's the message of salvation. Well, the scriptures make us wise for salvation, as Paul will later write to Timothy, but they're also profitable for all things that have to do with Christian living. By the way that they teach us, rebuke us, correct us, train us in righteousness, as Paul goes on to say in that same phrase. So the scriptures are very useful to us right now, as in any season. None of us has ever done a pandemic before, but God is not surprised. He knows how to respond and how to live through this season, and he's given us in the scriptures the blueprint to do this and to do it well. And to do it in ways that will actually glorify him and tend to extend his kingdom as we spend time in the word. That's where it begins for us. Now, this isn't automatic. The Bereans looked at the scriptures. They tested Paul's word. The Thessalonians didn't. But we do have the option and the choice to let the scriptures form and shape us for this season in particular, if we will hear the Holy Spirit's call and obey his voice as he speaks to us through them. That's number one. Number two, or number three, I should say, the Word of God is vitally important to us, but it is important because of who it points to. Based on the testimony of Scripture, you're going to have to shut off the answering machine, and in both cities, Paul proclaims Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life to God. If, as we say in our worship, death no longer has dominion over Jesus because he has died and is risen, then neither does any disease, not even coronavirus. If you know the Laura Ingalls Wilder story, The Long Winter, from the Little House books, in the winter of 1881 to 82, Dakota Territory experienced 7 months of nonstop blizzards from October through April. Cut off from all outside communication, the little town of DeSmet, where the Ingalls family lived, nearly starved to death. Towards the end of the winter, in the middle of another of the endless round of storms, Laura's pa says suddenly, "It can't beat us." "Can it, Pa?" Laura asks. "No," said Pa. "It gotta quit sometime, and we don't. It can't lick us. We won't give up." Even in our isolation, we are united by faith to the one who has beaten death, and by faith in him, through the word of Scripture that testifies to him, we live in him. In Jesus, coronavirus can't beat us either, and it won't. Paul and his apostolic team forth had a mission, that by the testimony of the Scriptures, people might know this Jesus. Because without him, at the end of the day, everything will beat us. Today, the whole church, not just any individual person, has the same commission as Paul. What was Paul's commission? To share the good news of Jesus Christ in his day is our commission in our day. Now, the picture you see on your screen is actually one of the sections of the Roman road. The Romans built the best road system in Paul's day that anybody on the Western world at least had until arguably the early 19th century. And that was only because of the invention of mechanized transportation. Paul took advantage of the technology of his day to spread the gospel. The Roman roads enabled him to travel quickly to a new city. Also enabled his enemies to do that, as we see in the story about Thessaloniki, but Paul used it. And just like Paul, we can use the democratizing feature of the internet to spread the gospel in our day. The threshold to participation has never been this low. And there have seldom been any time in my life, maybe ever, where the willingness to be considered participating has been higher. People are asking the God question. We have a gold-plated opportunity to share, unprecedented probably in the lifetime of any of us. Well, fifth, in Berea, the people accepted Paul's message. In Thessalonica, they didn't. Jesus tells the parable of the sower. The sower sows seed indiscriminately. If you were thinking strategically, you would not sow seeds on stony, hard ground because they're just not going to come up. But if you do that, you're wasting valuable time and preventing the seed getting to where it will grow. So you sow it indiscriminately. And again, if you know the story, not all of what is sown comes up, and not all of what comes up does well. The sower still sows the seed. We don't invite people only who we are sure will respond positively. Some just won't. We still invite them. And that's hard because it can lead to rejection. It did for Paul and his apostolic team in Thessalonica. None of us likes that. Rejection appears to me from Scripture to be simply part of the missionary turf. And we can take great comfort from God's words to Samuel when the people were clamoring for a king. He said, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me as their king. But did you notice something? There's no New Testament letter to the church in Berea, that we know of, at least. There are two letters to the Thessalonians. You can't always assess the ultimate outcome with a person by the initial response. The city where Paul was initially vehemently opposed seems to have been the one that produced an enduring church. So here is the opportunity that pandemic presents us. Number one, we live and work as a team. Even in isolation, we can do that. The internet, in this respect, is our friend. We can learn to be wise and strategic in using it to connect with people, even people at a distance, but people that might be open and responsive to the gospel. Second, we're shaped and formed by the scriptures. This is always the case in the Christian life. It's why the church has developed its pattern of worship over the years that is so grounded in repeating the Psalms and repeating the readings of the New and the Old Testament. And we have, most of us, more time on our hands these days. Some of us do, at least. It's a great time to be developing a discipline of regular encounter with the Word of God. The Word of God will change us. The Holy Spirit, through the Word, will make us be effective witnesses for Him. We don't have to try. The apple tree doesn't try to bear apples. It bears apples because it's an apple tree and it gets nourished by the soil and the sun and the rain. Number three, we point to Jesus. He is the Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life to God. We don't need to be ashamed of that exclusivity. Elsewhere, he makes it very clear he's that way for everyone. That's a very inclusive statement. And we can offer that ministry of his to the world with humility, with grace, and with confidence. Number four, whenever presented with lemons, make lemonade, is the homely saying. We have an opportunity this season. It's an opportunity for mission. We have a marvelous opportunity that's given us by a technology we didn't have a generation ago. We need to use it profitably for the kingdom and work while it's day. Because as Jesus also said, night is coming when no one can work. But while we can use this technology to be a blessing to people and to bring them to faith in him. Number five, there will be opposition, some of it initial only, some of it lasting. But we work for long-term results. As the homilist, for those of you who saw the wedding yesterday, said so well, all ministry, even the ministry of holy matrimony, points ultimately to the return of Jesus when he comes again. That's the long-term result to which we're working and tending. And that's what we can do during pandemic as any other time. So we're going to have more to say in coming days and weeks about ways that we can live into each of these features a bit more during a season of pandemic. Paul has given us a great template by his example in ministry in these two cities. So let's pray. Father, we're grateful that you have given us your word. We're grateful that we get to hear it. We're grateful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who desires nothing more for us than that we would be filled to overflowing with your love, issuing in obedience to your word. So we ask for those gifts, Lord. You're not reluctant to give, Lord. You love a cheerful giver because you are the cheerful giver. So would you now release those gifts for your church in this season, in this particular circumstance, in Jesus' name. Amen.